ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Tuesday, December 12th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Today in gold prices, I think we were up a little, just a tad a little bit. We had gold up $2.40 to $1,244.80. Silver was up 3 cents today at $1,580. Platinum was down almost 1%, down 8 at $883. And palladium was up 1 at $1,010. The USDX today was trading a little bit stronger also, 0.13 at 94.07. Little pressure on crude oil, down 0.77 at 57.22. Paper markets today, you had the Dow up 119 points at 24,505. The NASDAQ was down 12, 6,862. The S&P was up 4, 2,664. The 10-year yield today was up 0.02 at 2.40%. And Euro, of course, was down 0.30 at 1.17. And let's see, I guess suppose we're just going to have to start bringing in Bitcoin as part of the market report until it kind of reverses itself and people lose interest in it and everything. 17,133 up 2% today. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Bitcoin today, but the one thing I did see, people, I mean, what is wrong with people? They're taking out mortgages. They're taking out second mortgages to buy Bitcoin. And they do. The people are taking out credit cards, equity lines, mortgages. It's like, what the heck is wrong with people?
They're scared.
So they're borrowing. They're borrowing
they're scared,
money.
And the only way they can see out of this is almost magical. They can't work their way out. They can't. They are looking for something as magical as the lottery to save them. And Bitcoin looks like it might do it. But I think it's motivated by fear. It's not just greed. I'm sure some people are doing this just for greed, but some people are scared
to
death.
They're
so deep in debt, they
don't
know what else to do.
They don't want to miss the train.
That's some of it. That's some of it. But some of them are just scared to death, and this is their last chance, and they're looking at it from the perspective, look, they're going to lose. I'm speculating, of course, but they're looking at it from the perspective, they're going to lose the house anyway. They can see which way this is going. They're going to probably lose a house, who knows, middle of next year, fourth quarter next year. But they're looking at it thinking, you know, I'm going to lose this anyway. What difference does it make if I lose it now because I took a shot at Bitcoin, or I lose it a year from now anyway? I would speculate that that's how some of them are thinking.
Well, maybe, but I mean, I think for the most part that people are taking out credit cards and so forth, they wouldn't be able to get the loans if they were already in financial trouble. But, however, I think they're afraid they're going to miss the train. The problem is they don't know the destination of the train. They don't know where that train is going. And to risk your home, to risk your life on a roof over your head, the roof over your children, a roof over, you know, whoever you're taking care of, that's serious business. And there have been recommendations that people, they're even saying, hey, the guy who has who's making $100,000 a year, who's got a mortgage and two kids, they shouldn't be invested in Bitcoin. This is not something he should be doing. But it looks from the president of the North American Securities Administrators Association are saying that that's what people are doing because they don't want to miss the train.
This is not so different from 2006 when people were out buying second and third homes because the price of homes was going up so rapidly, and they figured, I can't miss. I'm going to make more money than the rest. And what happened is a bunch of people wound up losing their homes. And this is another one of these, you know, I don't know. There's a point here. It's part of this mania, and we apparently go through these cycles every 10 or 12 years. We do another mania. So this is the mania for the end of this decade, Melody. Then we get into the 2020 and we'll start looking for the next mania. See how many people get wiped out.
And when you talk about the 2000, you know, prior to the Great Recession, when you talk about all these other bubbles that have been created over the recent years, I mean, that is all part of the government's plan to keep the system going. But one thing that is common in all these pre-bubble is confidence. You have high levels of confidence. People think that jobs are going to be better. People think that they could go out and risk various things because their confidence is at a high level that they'll be able to get another job, that they're going to get raises, that next year is going to be better than this year. And that's not the case. But that's what people do. Their confidence is high and they take on additional risk. And then that's...
I agree. Some of them, I think, are afraid and some of them are overly confident. Here's an article from Zero
Hedge.
I don't
think any of them are afraid.
In the past 50 years, Americans have seldom been more confident than today. The Conference Board's survey of Americans' consumer confidence surged to its highest since November of 2000. In December, with both current and future expectations spiking. In the past 50 years, Americans have apparently seldom been more confident than they are now. Does that sound right? Additionally, confidence in soaring stock market is back near record highs. And again, you know, we talk about this every time we get into this, and we'll talk about it more. It's the idea of buy low and sell high. And when everybody is confident, that's a good sign that the end is near. This is part of the sell high moment. This is when everybody says, yay, insofar as that's, or at least a lot of people, a majority of people seem to think that. It's evidence that, you know, we may be at that sell high moment, and this exuberance, what did Greenspan call it? Irrational exuberance?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think maybe that's where we are again, perhaps with Bitcoin, perhaps with the stock market. A lot of people are into this irrational exuberance, and we shall see, but it doesn't look like it's going to work to me.
You know, I saw an interesting headline. We've seen oil prices rising. You know, it's holding in there, the high 50s, had a little bit down today, but there was reports of the Keystone Pipeline being shut down due to leakage, and that was why, you know, parts of, you know, why the oil prices were rising. But also the energy markets were shocked today by closure of pipelines in the North Sea and a major explosion of facility in Australia Austria, that helps move natural gas from Russia. The price of both crude oil and natural gas spiked. Of course, the investors are worried about the vital pieces of infrastructure. But Italy, it sources 30% of its gas via the pipeline in Austria. They declared a state of emergency. The explosion at the gas facility in Baumgarten near Austria's border with Slovakia killed one person, injured 18. The terminal's operator, Gas Connect Austria, said it closed the facility and suspended the transit of natural gas through Austria to southern Europe. So if the flows don't resume soon, and they're having a cold snap over there, prices will remain high through the rest of the winter. So it could be a very serious situation. And, you know, so this oil pipeline will result in some of the platforms producing both oil and gas to shut. And so it's kind of interesting. Natural gas futures spiked as much as 17% in London. And the cold start to the winter in Europe has been severe, hitting the UK and much of the mainland over the weekend and early this week. And demand for gas in the UK was already up 18% because of the weather. So then they're also monitoring the situation in the North Sea. So another reason why oil prices are holding steady at this higher level, but it's kind of interesting. I mean, what creates explosions, and was a little bit of sabotage, or was it a, you know, an accident? Was it something that just happens? But considering you have Russia involved in there, and who knows anymore what type of, you know, who knows what anything is happening for what reason anymore, because things are so intertwined and everybody's upset with Russia, and, you know, with North Korea and, you know, what they're doing and those that support North Korea.
Don't forget Iran.
and Iran.
We've got a threat. We have a threat with Taiwan and China. We've got North Korea. I don't know. You know, the whole many of the hot spots in the world look like they are ready to go, ready to dissolve into some sort of conflict, open conflict, hot war. It'll be interesting to see if this can be controlled, or if just one or two or three or however many. How many conflicts can we absorb on this planet at the same time before things really just kind of collapse? I don't know. But I suspect we're going to see. You know, we were talking yesterday about the idea that the Bitcoin mania is similar to the tulip mania in Holland back in either the 1600s or 1300s, I never remember which, but centuries ago. And you look at the tulip mania again, you say, oh, that's crazy. How could people be that crazy? Yeah, they're going to say the same thing about Bitcoin. High probability they're going to say the same thing about Bitcoin in the future. Your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren are going to look back and say, Bitcoin, you people must have been crazy. But we are living through it right now. We're living in one of these mania. Gives us an opportunity to see things that really have historical perspective. Gives us a clue to what things were like in Holland during the tulip mania. And the same thing is going on now with the threats of war. China going into Taiwan. The United States invading, not necessarily invading, but at least attacking North Korea. Problems, more problems raising in the Middle East. Maybe it's a little bit like prior to World War II. Or World War I. How many small controversies did we have? And then all of a sudden it just blew out of control. Maybe we're looking at that right now. And I think, you know, you really should, we all should be paying attention. Because maybe we're really looking at history right now. Something's happening on a historical perspective. It's not just, you know, another day at the office. But we're seeing something historical may be happening right now. And it would be good to pay attention simply because you may be able to avoid being bamboozled. There'll be things like Rahm Emanuel and Hillary Clinton that say a crisis is a terrible thing to waste. And if we do have a crisis coming, they're going to try to get every nickel and dime they can by taking advantage of the crisis. Maybe we need to be aware on an individual level of, wait a second, I'm not going to be bamboozled just because there's a crisis out here. Right, I'm not going to be hustled. I'm not going to be conned. I'm going to keep my hand on my wallet and watch what's happening, because we're in a historical, maybe in a historical, a moment of serious historical change, and it will be incumbent on all of us to kind of keep our heads and avoid being stampeded. We're going to have to try to keep our heads and do what's right and at least pay attention. Things may not be as dour as I suggest. Might not be as close to some sort of a serious crisis as I imply. Right, but just the same, not a bad time to pay attention. Strange things are afoot. We should all be, you know, paying a little closer attention so we're not surprised if and when something hits the fan.
We also have, today's a big election down there in Alabama. I'm so glad it's going to be over. Now, if Judge Roy Moore gets elected, then there's going to be a lot of, he won't be leaving the news, but there'll
that's
be all
why
kinds.
Trump supported him. We'll get Judge Roy Moore up here, and he'll take all the heat for a couple of months. Trump and get on Judge Moore.
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps. But I haven't seen any, if they have any leaving polls or whatever they call them after they leave.
Exit polls to see if they're
who's winning the race and so forth. But we'll find out soon enough later this evening.
And then what kind of a conflict will we have over who really won? Demonstrations and protests are going to have, because the loser, I really won it, and whoever it was that they claim to have won it is really, you know, didn't do so honestly. I mean, this is another election that could drag on for a year if we're not careful, but at least it'll give Trump an opportunity to take a nap.
That is true. That is very true. So, kind of interesting to find out there. It was interesting. He rode a horse. His wife, he and his wife rode a horse, rode their horses to vote. And I'm thinking, you know, you want to make a statement, you did. I think it's great, you know.
Maybe it would be more appropriate if they rode a blue donkey. They could get a donkey painted
yeah.
blue. It'll indicate that it was a Democrat. They were riding in on the backs of a bunch of Democrats.
I don't know, but I'll tell you. So it's kind of... But anyway, today there was a report. The federal government collected record total tax revenues in the first 2 months of fiscal 2018, according to the monthly Treasury statement. Despite these record tax revenues, the federal government still ran a deficit of $201 billion. So, how, you know, with tax reform, with thoughts of infrastructure spending, with everything else, possible, you know, wars, how does it all get paid? They're getting historic tax revenues, record tax revenues, and they still can't do it.
Like I've said for a couple of months, I strongly suspect, and I can't prove it, that in a debt-based monetary system debt's not an option, it's a necessity. I think anybody you elect, Republican, Democrat, I think maybe they're going to keep running the bill up, running the debt up, and continuing to increase it, not simply because they're stupid, but because they're caught and they're trapped in a debt-based monetary system, and it's the only way. They've got to keep... They're riding the tiger, and the only way to hang on is just generate more debt, more debt, more debt. It has to end badly, but everybody's just looking to buy time for right now.
Well, what they are, I mean, again, you know, everybody says, well, increase the tax base in order to, you know, it's not going to work. We have a spending problem. And until you start, but as long as we have the fiat currency, this is the program that we're on. They'll continue to spend. They have to, and, you said they have to go into debt with the fiat currency. It allows them to continue to go. They get bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's what it was all about. So they'll print until the cows come home. And I think the cows are just about to where they need to be. So
I can hear them mooing in the background, or is that the sound of the bumper music to announce we're going to do some commercials right
both.
Now?
Both.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to do a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We're going to continue with the 710 special for the 21-ounce American Silver Eagles, dated 2017, and, of course, the $25 face value of the 90% quarters, Washington quarters, BU, and it includes all your shipping costs, $710. Those are beginning to get a little limited there. So if they happen to be out, we will offer the American Silver Eagles, and, of course, all shipping is included. So either or, both are great deals, but you can't you can't linger and wait or think about it. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
An article here from David Stockman. All right, at David Stockman's Contra Corner. David Stockman was Treasury advisor for President Reagan, and I believe he's been a congressman, whatever, but he's stayed in the news for 30, 40 years now. And he says, the 30-year bubble, why America ain't that rich, that's his headline, and he's got a really interesting point in here. It was an extended article. We're only going to talk about a few paragraphs from it. But he says the entire financial and economic narrative in today's bubble finance world is virtually context and history free. It's all about the short-term deltas. And by deltas, he means changes. Short-term deltas, all right? And therefore, exceedingly misleading and dangerous. And I think he's got a real interesting program or insight here. Again, he says it's virtually context and history free. We look at what's happening in the market. What's it doing today? What's the price today? What's the price of Bitcoin? Anybody looking at is anyone looking at fundamentals? Is anyone looking at long-term trends? And Stockman says, no, the whole system is to work short-term. And he says this is misleading and dangerous. He says, so when a big trend or condition is negative and unsustainable, in other words, we've got a big trend. I would say a big trend is our debt problem. Okay? Big trend. I think that's going to do us all in. But there are others, and other people would have other opinions on what main big trends may be happening right now. But he says, so when a big trend or condition is negative and unsustainable, like our debt, negative and unsustainable, you generally can't even get a glimpse of it from the so-called high-frequency weekly, monthly, or even quarterly data on which the financial press and its patrons survive or thrive. He's talking about high-frequency weekly, monthly, and even quarterly data. He's saying something's coming in the door every minute. There's more coming in. Oh, my gosh. Did you see that it went up a tenth of a percent or went down a tenth of a percent? Oh, my gosh. What are we going to do? What does that have to do with long-term? He's saying everybody, we're feeding off this high-frequency data. And as a result, and that may be relative to what's going to happen to the price of Bitcoin in the next week or the next month, but what's it got to do with a long-term prospect for Bitcoin or for cryptocurrencies or for the U.S. dollar or for gold and silver? Nobody's talking about the long-term trends, and it is being buried under this high-frequency data input. And he says, and that's not merely because most of the data from governmental statistic mills is heavily massaged and modeled and often adjusted beyond recognition over 3 to 5 year intervals of statistical revision. Beyond that, even medium-term trends get largely ignored. That's because the purpose of modern economic and financial data is to facilitate daily and hourly trading in the casino, not to inform long-term investors about underlying trends, conditions, and prospects. And again, I agree with this. He says to facilitate daily and hourly trading in the casino. It's not just daily and hourly trading. We have high-speed computer trading right now. They're trading in fractions of a second. Right? High speed. Nobody's looking at the trend. They're just saying, what's it going to do in the next, what is going to happen in the next 0.3 of a second? And they are making investments based on what their algorithms predict is going to happen in the next fraction of a second. And based on that, they can make a fraction of a penny on each one of their transactions. And it doesn't sound like much, but they're making transactions, perhaps scores or even hundreds per minute. They're not looking at the long-term trend. They're looking at what's happening right now and what's going to happen in the next fraction of a second. The investor class of yore, in fact, has largely been destroyed in the past 30 years of monetary central planning and the Wall Street deformations it has fostered, meaning that increasingly headline reading algo traders, that's algorithm traders, that's computer traders, and trend following speculators, those are people, the only thing they know is the price. The price is going up, that's it. We are treating the market as if it's some sort of a mystical oracle. And people believe this, that the market, that all the information that is available has been factored into the market, and the price of whatever it is you're looking at, the price today, this minute, represents exactly what the price should be because it's taken all the factors into consideration for this minute. But what about the next minute, and a minute after that, and a week from now, and a month from now? All right? The long-term investors don't borrow. I think the problem here is I don't think they want long-term investors. I suspect that might be true. And I say they, I don't mean everybody. I think there is some reluctance to encourage people to invest on a long-term basis. And I think the reason for that may be long-term investors, if I wanted, so assuming I had $100,000 to invest, suppose I take that $100,000 and I take a long-term investment in something like General Motors or General Electric or Standard Oil, or gold, or silver. One of the things that happens, if I take a long-term investment, that $100,000 is now out of circulation. At least it's not being churned. I buy the investment today. I intend to sit on it for 10 years. I'll open the box and take a look at it in 10 years and see what it's worth. I think, I have a suspicion, I don't know it to be true, but I have a suspicion that when they encourage people to bet on the change, the deltas that are taking place on a fraction of a second basis, they almost necessarily have to increase people's tendency to borrow money to take advantage of whatever they see as an opportunity at this particular moment. I have a feeling, could be wrong, but I have a feeling that long-term investment reduces the amount of debt that's created in the society, or at least reduces the amount of debt instruments to serve the government and the Federal Reserve System. If I invest $100,000 in General Electric, for example, then General Electric tends to profit from that $100,000. What if I invest that $100,000 in U.S. bonds? Who profits then? I think it's the people, but I think it's the government issuing the bonds. I think they're the ones that are getting over. There may be, it raises the faint possibility that there's a kind of competition going on for people's dollars, and I think when the people put their money into long-term investments, those dollars aren't available to create more debt. Could be wrong, but that's a suspicion. Does any of that make any sense to you, Melody?
Well, I mean, that's one way of looking at things, but I mean, as far as when it comes to investing, I mean, they don't like any long-term investments because they don't get to trade you and make more commissions and more money off of people. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to me, as far as why they like, short-term and, constantly trading is to, just generate income for themselves. We do know that there's a lot of these portfolio, these pension plans. I mean, they are highly invested, you know, in bonds, and I can't remember the percentage of what it is, but it's a fairly significant, and to some degree, yeah, they're satisfying that part of the market for governments. So I think you can probably extract all, you know, several different scenarios or
yeah, you know, it's speculative. You don't know for sure. I mean, nobody's given prophecy.
And you know, it's probably all of them to some degree.
Yeah, that's
you know, I think they all would serve. You know, any scenario serves the purpose. And the purpose, and because all of what you explained is all part of the confidence game. It's all a game. It's all an illusion.
It's not just a game.
It's a big confidence. It's part of the confidence builder.
I agree. And I think Stockman's fundamental idea, though, I want to just emphasize what Stockman's saying. We are so busy looking at what's happening from moment to moment that we can't see what's likely to happen a year from now or 5 years or 10 years from now. Well, you're not even looking there. And the system, according to Stockman, is intentionally geared. Look at this. Look what's happening. Oh, my gosh. Look again. Look again. And we are looking at every instant. But we're not catching that long-term trend. We're not being taught. And I think he's probably right. As a result, we can't see the forest for the trees. We are counting each tree and each of the leaves on the tree. And, oh, my gosh, it's fascinating. Did you see that there were 18 leaves on that branch number 1,047? Right? Oh, my gosh, 18 leaves. What does it? Doesn't mean much anything. What about the forest? What about the forest? What's happening to the forest? And I don't think we're paying attention to that. And I think Stockman made an intriguing idea.
So. Well, absolutely. The world is speeding by, and no one's paying attention to anything. I talked about it on an earlier program this morning, you know, and I was basically comparing, you know, because no one's looking to see what 50 years brings us, you know, and I was talking more along the lines of, you know, our country and technology and how do things exist with, you know, we want one thing, but, you know, nobody's paying attention to what's going to happen in 5, 10, 50 years. And how technology, and it's the same, and so he's talking about finances. I was talking about something different, but it's true. No one is looking. No one is. It's because we've been so busy. And why have we been so busy? Why are we running around? Because we're trying to keep up. I don't know what we're trying to keep up with. I mean, at one point in time, it was always keeping up with the Joneses, but I'm not even sure that's it anymore.
Now it's the Kardashians. That was back in the old days, the Joneses.
No, actually,
now it's keeping up with the Kardashians.
Actually, it's basically keeping up with what the government needs you to keep up with. Because they
I
need
understand
you to,
it. Why? Yeah. Why do they need it? Why do you think they need you to pay close attention to whatever's happening right now?
Because they can continue to collect record amount of taxes.
I don't even think that's it. I think the reason is as long as we keep our nose to the grindstone and we're counting the number of leaves on the trees, we are not going to be looking far enough ahead to say, oh my gosh, the debt is going to strangle this country. You know, if you really do look at the long-term trends, how many of those trends are actually positive? You can talk about, oh, the economy, this quarter, oh,
sure.
This quarter, yeah, we're having a great quarter. What about the year? What about the decade? What about what's going to happen in 10 years? I think as long as I'm focused on the quarter, I'm not paying attention to what's going to happen 5 years or 10 years from now, and I think the government doesn't want me to look at that because if I do, I am going to be scared, maybe angry. When I realize, oh my gosh, look what they've done to us. As long as we don't peek too far ahead into the future, we can continue to play the game. But it's a little bit like gambling in a casino. I'm just going to focus on the roulette wheel and what numbers are coming up and whether it's red or black or it's 16 or 27, whatever the numbers are on the roulette. As long as I focus on that, I don't notice that the casino itself is on fire. And maybe it's time to beat feet and get out, all right? So we just keep focusing on what's happening right now. And we miss what's going to happen that may be catastrophic, who knows, months or years into the future. But I don't think you can look at the long trend. I don't think you can look at long-term trends and come back and say, well, boy, I sure am positive about this. I think our future is golden. I don't see how. I just don't see how that's possible. And it's not just a matter of pessimism. It's a matter of being objective. Just saying, look, here's what we got. How can this work for much longer? You know, we got to give them credit. They've held it together longer than I ever thought they could. But just the same, even if I'm not capable of figuring out the date and time when this thing is going to blow up in everybody's face, I can still see. It looks like somebody has lit a fuse. That fuse is burning toward a stack of dynamite. I don't know if it's a fast-burning fuse, slow-burning fuse. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but it's headed for a stack of dynamite. And you stand around here long enough, and you're going to get blown up. And that's what you can see as a metaphor. If you look into the future a little bit, you take a little of that long-term trend, start to look at that, and maybe base your investments on the long-term trends rather than the short-term hype. All right? They're stimulating. Oh, my God, they've raised the interest rate 0.25%. Is the world going to come to an end? Is the world going to get better? Is it going to get worse? Instead of looking at the 0.25%, what is happening for the next decade? Where are we going? And that's what Stockman was talking about, and I think it's a good insight, and I think it's a sort of thing we should all, you know, pay attention to insofar as we can and say, hey, you can't just be in it for the immediate instant gratification. These are investments, not bets. Well, they should be investments. But some people, they're just flat out gambling. They're taking their money and they're investing it in Bitcoin. They're investing it in the stock markets. They're investing it in bonds, much the same way people invested in Powerball. You know, make a killing, Melody. I could get fabulously wealthy.
Yeah, I'm going to go take a second on my mortgage and go buy. go to Vegas. Well, I relayed this story many times, living in Arizona, close to Las Vegas. Can't tell you how many times you heard people, I'm going to Vegas for the weekend, I'm going to triple my money. And they come back and they have to borrow to get gas, to get enough gas to get home. So that's what happens. You know, you go there very optimistic, and after your two-day weekend, you turn around
You're
with your tail
to
between.
Reality.
Yep, and, that
well, we
reality
another,
is not happy.
Well, we have another reality that's not unhappy, but it's reality just the same, and it's more commercials, so Melody and I will depart for a moment or two. Well, you folks enjoy a couple of commercials, and we'll be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Back to school, I need to learn the golden rule. Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners a special $710 for 90% silver BU quarters, $25 face value, and 21-ounce American Silver Eagles. 2017 includes your shipping cost, $710. That's a great buy. And make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com and make sure you sign up with our weekly newsletter. And we'll keep you posted on the rollout of our new website. So getting closer and closer, but things happen. So, but tomorrow you have the Federal Reserve. Janet Yellen will be making, she leaves in February.
Her final speech. It's her final public speech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see if she does the quarter point tomorrow. I don't know if the tax reform or the promises thereof, I saw where they were actually, the corporate tax was risen to, they rose it to 21%. But again, still no discussions much in the debt ceiling or the budget. Only a few comments about $1 trillion infrastructure. So,
why do
everything
you think,
was on this election?
Why do you think no one's talking about the debt ceiling? That's supposed to be decided this month. Here we are on the 12th day. We're almost halfway through the month.
They attached it to the spending bill. But they, hopefully that'll get through. So they don't have to talk about it. They'll attach it to the spending bill, and then everybody just, oh.
Well, they're up to something, because they should be, this is normally one of those dramatic moments in legislative history where once again we have some people claiming we've got to go deeper in debt, and we have others saying, you know, playing the fair maiden, and they have the vapors and the rest of that to go, oh my gosh, we can't go deeper into debt. Usually we get a real sock puppet drama at these moments, and they go through them every, I don't know, if this has been going on since 2015. It's been, and here we are on end of 2017. And they have yet to resolve that debt ceiling problem. Right, so it's going to be interesting. If they've been pushed to the point where they have to add it to the spending bill, if that's what's going on here, then it's simply another admission that they can't deal with the spending, with the debt ceiling limit. They can't, from a political perspective, from a monetary perspective, they can't apparently deal with that in a way that isn't going to make people angry and upset. What do you suppose they'll do with it, Melody? Are they going to increase the debt ceiling?
They will.
Yeah, of course
likely.
They will.
But you know what's interesting?
They could
now
operate without more debt.
But you know what's interesting? I mean, it was what, last Thursday or whatever, they extended the spending bill, but it only. And they change dates whenever they can, you know. I mean, 1 month, it's one day, and then they change it. So the government is supposed to be open until December 22nd with the, because they voted on the two-week spending bill. I mean, is that all the better they can do? Let's go 2 weeks.
But they're
going
to get down to where they're doing two-hour spending.
One day.
We're open for 120 minutes, and after that, all sales are final.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just like, and that takes us right to the 22nd is the Christmas weekend. That's a Friday. So, you know, it's just like, what are they doing? And I don't know if he signed it yet, if Trump signed it. I'm assuming he did.
Here's the problem. I don't know what's going on, because the Democrats are quiet about this, and maybe they're just biding their time. But the Republicans are running the White House and the Congress and the Senate, and they are famous for saying, we don't believe in going in deeper into debt, right? And if we go deeper into debt with the new debt ceiling, and I think we have to, I don't doubt, they have to authorize more debt. How are they going to square that up with being Republicans? They're going to say, well, yes, Republicans control the House and the Senate and the White House, but you don't understand, we still have to go deeper in. We don't want to, but we're going to go deeper into debt. I think this is going to be a political liability for the Republican Party, and I would imagine, and I'm only guessing, that the Democrats are going to lay it to them pretty good toward the end of this month. They said, wait, you're the party who, you know, you're the guys who don't want to go into debt. You believe in, you know, straight budgets.
You know what? You give the Democrats their issues, their funding. They want some of the issues, their immigration and so forth, the key children's health program they want and so forth. You know what? They're all buyable. You know, you give them what they want, and they'll all approve it, and all things will go to Congress, and then it'll go to the printing presses.
The Republicans will be blamed. I don't see any way you can blame the
Democrats. If the Democrats get what they want, they're going to be hushed.
Democrats are going to skate away from this, but the Republicans are going to take the heat, or at least that's my suspicion, and we'll watch and see over the course next 10 days or so. Maybe we'll have a better idea.
You know, I mean, for the election next year, for the elections next year, the Democrats are going to glob on to this sexual harassment through these, that's what they're going to be using and so forth. But we'll see if there's more Democrats that are exposed, you know, then perhaps they won't. I'm really not quite sure what they're going to use for their election year next year.
Neither are they.
Yeah.
Maybe bulletproof vests. Maybe that'll be in style.
I don't know why that would. Well, I don't know why that would be, but maybe they'll just, you know, clam on to the one item that's the most popular in the news at that point in time. You know, that would be a bad reflection onto the Republicans and vice versa. So who knows? But it's going to be a long year. It's going to be a long year.
No, I bet it won't. I bet it's going to be, you're going to be surprised how quickly we're going to come to December of 2018.
Yeah.
I think it's going to run fast. It may be an uncomfortable year, but I think it's going to move quickly. I think it's just going to go quicker and quicker and quicker.
I think
and
things are going
to... the trick will be to see the trend, the long-term trends.
I said last year I thought this year would be a very volatile year, a very active year, and we've had it. I think next year will be the same, but it just depends on, but they're going to be globbing on. It's going to be a long year as far as the election, gibberish that we hear on a daily basis. That's what's going to make it. Every day we're going to have to hear about, you know, someone and the fighting between the Republicans and the Democrats. And we'll see if that holds front page news or will the economy. But if they can keep the stock market high.
For a while.
I don't think they will.
You know, in terms of the next election for next November, I wonder if that's really going to occupy most of the year. Because I think politicians know that the public is so angry at most of them.
Maybe.
That they might decide they just want to just shut up and we'll wait for the election and keep their mouth shut. We won't even talk about it until 90 days before the election. I don't know that that's true, but I'm wondering if some of them are saying, don't get those people any angrier than they already are. Don't remind them what's going on here. We're just going to have a little election. Maybe nobody will notice. Maybe that's what, I don't know if they're thinking that way or not. Here's an article from Freedom's Phoenix, and the headline is Ron Paul's survey. Over 50% favor Bitcoin as long-term investment. That's the headline here. Former Texas Representative Ron Paul has conducted an online survey on December 6th, which showed that the majority of the respondents would choose a cash gift in the form of the leading cryptocurrency Bitcoin if they could not get hold of it for 10 years. only 2% of the respondents opted to receive the gift in U.S. dollars. Well, I kind of agree with that. I think I kind of agree that, I don't know, Bitcoin is, it might be preferable to U.S. dollars. But still, the idea that, I don't know how this question was presented to the people who were surveyed. Did they ask them, did you want this as a long-term investment? Or did they just say, would you rather have $1,000 worth of Bitcoin stuck in a cookie jar and you can't open it for 10 years? Or would you rather have $1,000 worth of cash? And they're right about one thing. How many people think the dollar is even going to be here in 10 years? I mean, that's a long-term trend in a sense. It may resolve itself much quicker than that, but the dollar's lost 96% of its value since 1971 as compared to gold. Lost 96% of its value. Today, a dollar is worth approximately a, what it has a nickel's worth of purchasing power as nickels existed in 1971. All right? It does not bode well for the dollar still being here 10 years from now. I'm not saying it can't be here, but you know, the odds are, it looks like the dollar's going bye-bye. So I suppose if you had your choice between $1,000 worth of cash in a cookie jar buried in the backyard, can't touch it for 10 years, and $1,000 worth of graham crackers, put in the cookie jar, can't touch it for 10 years, maybe the $1,000 worth of graham crackers in 10 years would be a better investment bet than the dollar. And in that sense, knowing that the dollar is probably going to lose most of its value, what remaining value, maybe it's quite sensible to say, well, I'd rather have Bitcoin than cash. I don't know, if that were my two choices, which would you rather have? And I think most people would agree with that. But still, it's interesting from Ron Paul's perspective, people are regarding Bitcoin apparently as a long-term investment, which strikes me as, I don't know, just more evidence of
we live in a strange world.
I think people
view Bitcoin as a long-term investment because of the information that's being given to them. They believe that we're going into this world of technology, and that, you know, the dollar will be, you know, it will be the new way to trade things. So I think to some degree people make that decision based on what they're told. And of course, you know, they're being told this by people who sell and who profit, and particularly now that you also have, you know, futures being traded on particularly Bitcoin, you're going to see a lot more volatility come into. And once the bubble has broken, I don't know if people would, you know, I don't know, will they review it the same way? You know, everybody who thinks when something's going up, you know, this is a, you know, this is the deal for the century, and it's always going to go up, and, you know, government's going to do it and rule, and, you know, we're going into cashless society and so forth. So it'd be interesting to know why people thought it was the long term.
Well, it may be, like I say, it may just be, if in the comparison, which would you rather have? You know, a dead dog, we're going to build a pen out behind the house. Would you rather have a dead dog keeping the pen for the next 10 years or a live dog? You know, if it's alive right now, it might still be alive 10 years from now. Dead one's definitely dead. It may be just, they just look, the dollar is going down, so you might, if the choice is Bitcoin, if that's the choice they're given, it may make some sense to do what they're doing there. But it's just interesting that people think of Bitcoin as a long-term phenomenon. That's really just hard for me. It's really hard for me to imagine, you know, to, you know, long-term phenomena. There are other, I think I saw one of the alt currencies, one of the alt cryptocurrencies, I think is called Litecoin. And I think that's the one I saw just in the last, just today maybe, I was looking at some of the news on this. I may not have the name of the coin right, but it doubled in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Well, you know, Bitcoin is here, but it doesn't mean Bitcoin is the best cryptocurrency there can possibly be. The other currencies are fighting with Bitcoin. They're going to take some of the wealth away from it. And somebody is sitting in their garage right now, some 14-year-old kid. I hope he's a relative so I can get some money out of him. But some kid is sitting in the, and he's going to come up with a currency that's going to make Bitcoin look like Confederate money. And the world will run to it. Build a better cryptocurrency, and the world will beat a door, or beat a path to your doorway.
Well, it's not like anything. It's just like everything else in the world. People think the bigger it is, the better it is. And when you look at these other cryptocurrencies, not any different than I mentioned, I think, yesterday, is the same way as the tech boom. You know, there was companies out there, everybody was trading this. Maybe they didn't trade the biggest, but they traded, you know, some of the smaller ones. They made great returns and so forth. Everything was all great until the plug was pulled. And then you have these, you know, corrections and, you know, and everybody still gets hurt. So, you know, when there's no fundamentals underneath something and they're rising at these, you know, the price that they are. It's dangerous, but
it's not just dangerous; it's irrational.
But the point of it is, it just repeats itself.
But nobody pays any attention.
If you touch your finger on the flame, you're going to get burned. If you do it again, you're going to do it again. You're going to burn.
I know. What about subprime borrowing? That basically triggered for homes that triggered, at least in part, the Great Recession that started in 2007, 2008. And what have we had in the last couple of years? Subprime borrowing on automobiles. You know, it blew up once. Did we learn from it? Nope. We're doing it again. And not in just a few years. So what fools these mortals be seems to be an accurate statement. And we'll have to leave that subject for another day. Melody and I are done for today. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my